when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Found a new baby. I found a new boy. That sweet talking baby has filled me with joy. His new way of loving is all that I crave. His sweet dirt of loving has made me a slave. Sweetest kiss, what a kiss, full of bliss, can't resist somehow. Tells me lies, but he's wise. Naughty eyes mesmerize, I vow. Everybody looks at me. Happiness is what they see. It is awfully nice to be on solid ground. He is charming, I confess. Oh, more than you, but I digress. Tell me, darling, can you guess just what I have found?
You found a new baby.
I found a new baby.
Not only found a new baby, we found one of the great Broadway babies of our time. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating today backstage from the venerable and venerated Lyrics and Lyricists at the 92nd Street Y. And if you haven't already figured it out, our guest today is Betsy Wolfe, one of my absolute favorite performers. Almost ever. Ever. I'm going to say ever, Betsy.
Are you just saying that because I'm sitting across from you?
No,
I thank you.
No, not at all. I remember I met you at a concert at Merkin Concert Hall about Oscar Hammerstein and Otto Harbach or something, and they gave you and Louis Cleel Indian Love Call as an exhibit of Oscar Hammerstein. I said, that's really unfair. Why not give them a really good song? And you and Lewis sang the Desert Song from the audience.
We did.
I remember you walked by me and I said, you know what? You're the real deal.
Oh, well, that is a sweet story to hear.
Yeah, you
and
really
for
are.
All of you to hear.
So you've been a Broadway vet now for what, for the last how many years?
We'll just say two.
Two.
But you can add a number in front of that or so.
But you've racked up an incredible number of achievements. But you're not a literal Broadway baby. You're almost as far away on the other side of the continent as you could be from New York City growing
up. I suppose.
Up.
I grew up in a very small town in Visalia, California, which most people confuse with Vidalia or Vallejo, but no, it's Visalia, California.
Wow. And how did you get bitten by this showbiz bug? You must have always been a good singer, I imagine, as a child.
Well, I think I loved to sing. I don't know that I knew I was necessarily good until I recognize that, oh, other people seem to enjoy this, and I really enjoy this. And I think when I first noticed that I could sing, or at least when my parents noticed that, oh, maybe she's more than just, you know, slightly talented, was when I took a senior citizen bus trip down with my Nana, whose husband had passed away. So they're all, you always had to buy two seats on this bus. Mm-hmm. And so from Lindsay, California, we drove down to LA, which is 2.5 hours away. And we would see whatever musical was touring. And so in second grade, I went with, 40 senior citizens on this bus tour down to see Phantom of the Opera. And I came back, and I was singing everything that Christine Daae was singing.
Wow. Well, I guess generationally, you also seem to have been influenced by other music that wasn't just Broadway. Because I know we talked a little bit about Karen Carpenter's voice,
yes,
which I think is one of the most pure, beautiful instruments in the history of pop music.
Yeah, she is one of my all-time favorites. You know, she didn't need any kind. You know, now there's such fancy tuning that they do, and she just was the real deal. That voice just cuts to the soul. I did my parents, they listened to a lot of Billy Joel. We always watched. I got to see the Carol Burnett reruns, so I was very much into this musical, you know, comedy sketch work, so incorporating.
So you must have seen Stephen Eady at an early age, because Steve Lawrence was always on the Carol Burnett
show. Yes, absolutely.
He was a good comedian. Well, let's go back
Harvey Korman, Tim Conway. I was just obsessed with them all.
Let's go back to Karen Carpenter. Here she is singing a show tune written by Burt Bacharach from Promises, Promises.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I never fall in love again. I never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a guy? Get enough germs to catch pneumonia. After you do, he'll never phone ya. Never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you. That is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fall in love? You get enough tears to fill an ocean. That's what you get for your devotion. I never fall in love again. I never fall in love again.
Don't tell me what it's all about,
'cause I've been there. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So far at least until tomorrow. I never fall in love again.
Well, Bacharach is one of my heroes, and I gather you have a little skin in the game when it comes to Burt Bacharach.
Well, I've always obviously been a huge fan. In fact, I took that song, I'll Never Fall in Love Again, and in college I decided that that was going to be in my book. You know, as actors, you have your book that right. you go to New York with. And so I turned that into a really, really jazzy ballad. And I actually booked a couple jobs that way. So that was a good song for me. But I recently got to record a cover track for Burt's new album that he's doing in conjunction with Duncan Sheik. So I'm not really sure how much I'm able to say, but you will hear me on a cover track soon.
You've whetted everyone's appetite, I'll tell you. So Billy Joel also seems to be significant in your personal playlist.
Obsessed. I didn't even know what I was necessarily listening to when I was younger, at least in terms of storytelling in the context of a song. I'm sure I was singing some lyrics and, you know, as a 12-year-old and highly inappropriate for a 12-year-old to be singing. But his use of storytelling and through lyrics, I found to be really from the lens of almost like a, you know, like a musical perspective in a way, right? It always seemed to say more than just the typical pop tunes did. And so, I listened to him nonstop. And then I knew when I met my husband, since he was his favorite, that was, I was like, well, now we're fine.
That's great.
Good. This is
well,
match.
Billy Joel has a little bit of a musical theater cred after moving out. So let's
Which
hear.
I saw eight times.
You saw it eight times?
Okay,
you didn't get it the first seven times?
I didn't get it the first seven times. No, it was this crazy story. I became obsessed with this musical when I first moved to New York because, you know, when you're young and you move there, you're always told to try and see yourself in the show, right? And so I would go and watch certain shows and think and look at it from a very critical perspective and watch the show and think, well, I could probably play this part or I could play this part. But I could do nothing that those dancers were doing, absolutely nothing that they could do. So it was one of the few shows that I could just go and watch and just be super present. And they had $30 front row tickets. And then I also went to closing night, and Billy Joel came out and played a couple tunes.
Wow.
So I know it's the only like super fan geeked out show that I've completely still am embarrassed to this day if I ever see someone or work with them. I'm like, I saw you eight times.
Oh, it's a wonderful show. Let's hear a little original Billy Joel.
Last night, so much fun to be around. You had to have the fun. no, no, you had to be a big shot. Did you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot. Did you? All your friends were so knocked down. You had to have the last word last night. So much fun to be around. You had to have the white hot spotlight. You had to be a big shot last night.
No, listeners, don't touch that dial. You're still listening to Broadway to Main Street. This is Larry Mazlon, your host. And today I'm privileged to spend an hour with a lady who I think is, for my money, one of the finest leading ladies in contemporary musical theater, Betsy Wolfe. And I guess we have to segue, as we must, to your first appearance on Broadway.
Yes, it was 110 in the Shade.
Wonderful
Roundabout
score.
Theater Company. And I was actually on tour doing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee and was obsessed with one day working with Audra McDonald because she grew up actually 45 minutes from Visalia, California. Yes, Fresno.
Yeah.
And so I took voice lessons from her same voice teacher. I got to see her when I was 15 years old and she came through and toured. So I was bound and determined to go to New York. And so I drove myself there. I went to an open call. My agents didn't even know because, you know, you technically have the agents. You don't have to go to an open call. I was the first person to sign up on the list, and I got the job. And I just thought, well, this is meant to be. I'm supposed to work with Audra.
The shares, so, as our people say, here at the 92nd
Street
Y.
So that was my debut.
Wow. And then you worked with another titan of the musical theater, Sherry Renee Scott,
yes,
and Lindsay Mendez.
Yes, who I was obsessed with in college. I mean, once I got a CD of the last 5 years, I just loved Sherry, fell in love with her. So the opportunity to audition for her, you know, one woman, four person show.
Right.
I knew I had to do it.
Wow. Kismet. So here is Up the Ladder to the Roof from Everyday Rapture.
We shall run across the sky and illuminate the night. Oh, I will try and guide you to better times, and brighter days. Don't be afraid to come up the ladder to the roof where we can see heaven much better. Come up the ladder to the roof where we can be.
to hurt you, Frank, but I'll hurt you if I have to.
How is Frankie?
How do you think he is? All I keep thinking is I could have stopped it.
Do you still love me?
Did you sleep with her, Frank?
Do you still love me?
Not a day goes by, not a single day, but you're somewhere a part of my life, and it looks like you'll stay as the days go by. I keep thinking, when does it end? Where's the day I'll have started forgetting? But I just go on thinking and sweating and cursing and crying and turning and reaching and waking and dying. And you won't go away, so there's hell to pay, and until I die, I'll die day after day after day after day after day after day after day, till the days go by.
That is Betsy Wolff from the Encore's concert version, of course, of Merrily We Roll Along. One of the toughest jobs in the American musical theater is to be pushed out on stage, have one line of dialogue, and sing that killer number.
Yes, I think it was probably, I think it was four lines of dialogue. But nevertheless, it was a challenge. You know, I grew to absolutely love that show. And I know that some people say it doesn't necessarily work, but when you're in it, it is the most satisfying thing as an actor to do. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to watch it. I've never seen a production of it myself. But
I worked on the production at Arena with Victor Garber, David Garrison, Becky Baker, and Maren Mazzie playing your part.
Wow.
And that's what made her. So here you are when you're doing these encore things. You're making a name for yourself. What's that like? It seems to me like you're doing concerts and galas and trying to find your way up the ladder, as it were.
Yeah, you know, I wish that someone would have said that these things, like what you're mentioning, these little things that don't maybe seem like they're necessarily substantial time-wise. You know, I think Merrily was 2 weeks, and they made a huge deal about it extending a second week because they usually only do 1 week.
Right.
And, you know, I pinch myself now to think, like, those were just some of the most incredible theatrical experiences, but you're just so full of it kind of in the moment going, well, what's next? What are we doing next? What's next? That you don't necessarily enjoy it. And I recently listened to that album and just sat there and was able to really process it in kind of a new way. I've worked with Sondheim and James Lapine again. I mean, these were people that I had lauded, you know, growing up and watching that Into the Woods VHS. I wore it down.
Wow.
So funny. To get to do the show with them was pretty incredible.
Well, we have a few things to plug today. And talking about taking opportunities, you're currently in a Lyrics and Lyricists, which will play this weekend tonight, and two performances on Monday, Yes I Can, the Sammy Davis Jr. songbook. And you're getting to sing some stuff from that. And you're getting a chance to sing something from a more of a traditional Broadway 1960s repertory. Is that stuff you've sung before?
Well, no. So, you know, I probably had a limited scope of what some of the music that Sammy Davis Jr. had done. I knew kind of the classics, the one that we all know, Mr. Bojangles and Candyman. But diving into this and watching the incredible documentary, I obviously was made keenly aware of a lot of the women in his life as well, and kind of the style of what was happening in the nightclubs there. And so to get to kind of portray some of the different female characters as well as sing music in the style of how it was meant to be done has been really, really enjoyable. And the show's going great.
Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, I can't imagine we're doing obviously some numbers from Golden Boy. If we were going to mount a revival tomorrow, I can't imagine anyone better as Lorna than you.
You're doing it's why I'm here. Make it happen.
Yeah, make it so. Well, let's turn to another lyrics and lyricists. It's one that I saw and also fell in love with as a show, Stage Door Canteen. And here you are singing a song from World War II with Deborah Monk.
Ah, a genius.
Hello there, buddy on the night shift. I hope you slept all day until the moon came out and woke you up and sent you on your way. Hello there, buddy on the night shift. I hope you're feeling fine. I left a lot of work for you to do on a long assembly line. I wish I knew go my way, for when one of us goes on the job, the other hits the hay. Goodbye now, buddy, on the night shift, and push those planes along, and when the sun comes out, I'll take your place, all wide awake and strong. I'll follow you,
buddy on the night shift. I hope you slept all day until the moon came out and woke you up and sent you on your way. Hello there, buddy on the night shift. I hope you're feeling fine. I left a lot of work for you to do on a long assembly line. Wish I knew you better, but you never go my way. For when one of us goes on the job, the other hits the hay. Goodbye now, buddy, on the night shift, and push those planes along. And when the sun comes out, I'll take your place, all wide awake and strong. I'll follow you, you'll follow me, and how can we go wrong?
Well, we're here with Betsy Wolff, and I'm sort of getting my feeling for your career, and now you're moving up the ladder to the roof, and boom, you hit the sweet spot. Big honking part, and a part you're, I would say, born to play, except Sherry Renee Scott got there first. So what was it like doing her material on this incredible, incredible score, which is so incredibly popular?
Well, I felt so connected to it, obviously, because I'd done Everyday Rapture with her years before. And I remember telling her, hey, I'm auditioning for this show. And she said, why are you even auditioning? That's ridiculous. She just said, it's that you, there's no one else that will play this but you. And so it was almost like she was gifting this, you know, to me. Of course, I still went and auditioned. I definitely still went and auditioned. Yeah. But she, you know, she was there opening night. I felt her love. I felt like I was honoring, you know, her presence, but then also very much making it my own, which is the only way that you can do that material justice. Right. And so it was a very, very special show.
Well, well, here from the last 5 years, still hurting, Betsy Wolf.
It's time to move on. Jamie has new dreams he's building upon, and I'm still hurting. Jamie arrived at the end of the line. Jamie's convinced that the problems are mine. Jamie's probably feeling just fine, and I'm still hurting. What about lies, Jamie? What about things that you swore to be true? What about you, Jamie? What about you? Jamie's sure something wonderful died. Jamie decides it's his right to decide. Jamie's got secrets he doesn't confide. And I'm still hurting. Go and hide and run away. Run away. Run and find something better. Like it's simple, like it's to earn. Maybe there's somewhere a lesson to learn, but that wouldn't change the fact. That wouldn't speed the time. Once the foundation's cracked,
still hurting.
So the drill seems to be after you do last 5 years, which is like you're on at least 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you need to segue and get your own act. Right? So and you said that people always have said to you, when are you going to do your own thing?
If I heard it one more time, and bless Fine Signs 54 Below, they've asked for so many years for me to come and do my own show. And I think I just, I don't know, I was doing eight a week. And for a long time, there was a kind of a quick turnaround there from falsettos to waitress. And for a long time, I was doing eight a week. And you really don't have the energy to think about it. But I realized just after this period of time that I'd been doing, you know, an essence of me, right? In every character, there's always like an essence of you. And I just thought, I love just getting to walk out and just kind of be me, and it's a little zany and crazy, and I thought, it's time. It is just time.
You've got to be you.
It's just time. Yes.
So tell us what you have coming up, because we know we have one biggie in New York at 54 Below, but a few things before that, and what can audiences expect? Other than a two-drink minimum.
Oh, my gosh. Other than a two-drink minimum. You know, it's funny. I actually previewed the show the other day, and I was talking to a reporter, and he said, well, this is just unbridled, like, cray-cray for, you know, a preview. And I was like, you know, I kind of really appreciate that. I'm not even sure what it means, but I appreciated the description. And, you know, one of the reasons why I called it All Bets Are Off is I love live theater, but even 8 shows a week, we still know what's going to happen in some way, right? There's a little bit of give and take within a show. But doing The Mystery of Edwin Drood specifically, it was a show that you do the show, and then at the end of the show, the audience gets to vote on the ending. So there was this element of even a surprise within the show. And I just found that I think the rest of the cast just craved that kind of little bit of unknown each night. And so I decided when crafting the show that there would be, you know, a decent portion that's known, but some that just happens. And it's truly one of those things where I think it's going to be every night is going to be just slightly different. We did it to sold out crowds in San Francisco.
Right.
And then I went to Indianapolis, the cabaret, and then March 1st and 2nd, I will be at the Smith Center doing the cabaret there. So I'm really excited about that.
And that's in Vegas.
That's in Vegas.
Wow.
Yep, Myron's Jazz Room.
Great. Mm-hmm. And then what your dates are March 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th at 54 Below.
Yes, 7 p.m. You can come all four times. It's
wow.
So exciting.
If I don't get it, almost as many times as you saw Moving Out, right?
Yeah, half as many.
Half as many as you saw. That's funny.
That just makes me sound crazy.
No, I think it's time. I can't wait. Well, you mentioned we don't have to pick a murderer at the end of a suspect at the end of your cabaret.
Oh, hey,
act,
you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, here's a show where you did have to do that. This is the Roundabout production of Mystery of Edwin Drood. And another person who sort of seems to cycle through your life, Stephanie J. Block.
Yes, I just did falsettos with. Gosh, this is crazy. We're already in 2019, but 2016 we opened falsettos and I got to be reunited with her again.
Wow. Well, let's hear Betsy's astonishing classical chops here on Two Cuts from The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
If we were perfect strangers, how perfect life could be. I'd know if I adore you, you'd know if you love me. We've seen together to judge the view. Too much we've been together, and I assumed the future, and I presumed that you were there. And yet I've wondered where we were. If we were perfect strangers, I'd find my way with. I'd see the path before me, the forest from the trees. Could life be real without you? You're always there. Do I feel about you? I care.
Too near
to touch you, my dearest Ned. How much you mean
to me.
How much you.
I pray you will take this clasp, left to me by my mother, as a vow of my eternal friendship. God bless you.
God bless you, dear.
How do I feel about you?
I care.
Too near to touch you, my dearest Ned. How much you mean.
But how we love us.
So we're here with Betsy Wolfe, who not only can sing like that, but is a fantastic comedian, incredibly charming, wonderful in every way. So what it seems to me you can play anything in the Broadway canon. Are there roles that are someday out there you'd like to tackle?
Of course. I mean, it's crazy. I think, you know, I hope this doesn't sound crazy, but I really do think that maybe some of the best, juiciest roles that I've yet to play possibly haven't been written.
No, that's an excellent
I think
answer,
that's always
Betsy.
An optimistic, you know, there's always, but of course, like, you know, give me a couple years. I want to, you know, I want to play Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd,
oh,
you know, but that's not for a little while.
No,
now.
You can keep that
you
one.
You know, I've already played Dolly Levi. I played her once at age 13 and 17.
Wow.
So I look forward to the age appropriate version of Dolly Levi. So. I've got my hit list.
You know what's interesting? I think, which is always to me an odd thing about this particular show, I think you would be amazing as Lizzie Curry, but you're too attractive.
How dare you? Have you seen me in the mornings? I can make this work.
Okay. I mean, that would be a good part for
you. I don't know.
You.
Look, Audra McDonald is pretty stunning. But, you know, I think it's all about the way you hold yourself and carry yourself, and anyone can be, you know... If it's done right, I would love to do that.
Yeah,
role.
You've got the chops
I would love
to
it.
Play it.
I would love it.
So, in terms of big breaks and faces in Times Square, five stories high,
on a trash can, yes, on many trash cans,
we get to Waitress. So, how did you wind up filling Jenna's uniform?
Well, It all started with an audition, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. I saw Jesse in the original, and Jesse and I shared a dressing room during The Mystery of Edwin Drood, and I loved this story. I loved this female character. You know, there's not enough of them that on kind of the Broadway stage that go through such a journey, and it's really central to her. To her story. And so I really, really loved the music. I was a huge Sarah Bareilles fan. She came out with the Blessed Unrest album, and I devoured it. It's pretty much all I listened to the entire year. And so I was really, really lucky to get to step in and follow Sarah Bareilles herself, which is, you know, you just can't do it. You just do your own thing, right? You don't get to follow the person who wrote it. And so...
Well, Shakespeare says, sweet are the uses of adversity. And I tried several times to get in to see Sarah Bareilles, and I couldn't. And then one Wednesday afternoon, and I said, you know what? I'm going to see it with Betsy Wolff.
Oh,
and you gave such a tremendous performance. It was such a great afternoon in the theater.
Thank you. What I will say, to credit that production... What everyone does is you are not a hamster in a wheel, in the sense that every single female that comes in and embraces that role, they give such freedom to make it their story and their journey. And I think that is why audiences still connect with whoever's doing it, is because it's truth. It's really true for that person.
Wow. Well, sadly, you don't have your own album of The Score of Waitress, but we managed to use our technical skills to pull, I think, two really lovely cuts. Everything
well, and
changes.
Luckily, though, too, for yes. audiences coming to the show, I'll shamelessly plug it again, March 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, yes.
I am going to be singing a waitress song.
Of course you are. that's become your... It's become your
you have
your,
to.
Your a puzzlement from
Absolutely.
King and I. Right. Okay, let's hear Betsy from Waitress.
Today's a day like any other, but I am changed, I am a mother, oh, in an instant. And who I was has disappeared, it doesn't matter, now you're here. So innocent, I was lost for you to find. And now I'm yours, and you. Sometimes what eases me
So, Betsy, this yes. song has become one of those things so quickly in the canon of, do you think of it as a signature tune? Do you think of it as something you'll always be connected to?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's not only a brilliant song, it's now one of my favorite memories, and so it'll come with me. It'll always come with me.
And those lucky people who want to hear it sung live, where do they go soon to hear
it? Well, if you're in Vegas, you're going to go to Myron's Jazz Room at the Smith Center. And
that's
Feinstein's,
the first and second of March.
First and second of March.
Then you take the red eye.
Right away, then I get to rehearse with my full band. They're incredible for New York. And my music director's doing the Cher show. And so, yeah, we do it March 6, 7, 8, and 9.
At 7 p.m.
All at 7 p.m.
Wow.
I know.
Well, you won't want to miss that if you love great American music and hearing it performed by people at the top of their game. Don't miss All Bets Are Off.
That's
at 54 Below. So, Betsy, we're going to have to catch up some other time.
Some other time.
Here's Betsy singing from the lyrics and lyricist Stage Door Canteen, our favorite closeout song. Thank you so much, Betsy.
Thank you.
24 hours can go so fast. You look around, the day has passed. When you're in love, time is precious stuff. Even a lifetime isn't enough. Where has the time all gone to? Haven't done half the things we want to. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token. Too many words are still unspoken. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun is starting, comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we've had and what's to come. There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. Didn't get half my wishes, never have seen you dry the dishes. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. Can't satisfy my craving, never have watched you while you're shaving. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun's beginning, comes the final inning. Haven't had time to wake up, seeing you there without your makeup. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time.
Just when the fun is starting,
comes the time for parting.